was thinking about asking you about that. I listened to Clutch's EP there this morning. I didn't realize that a full album was incoming soon
Which,
thereafter.
oh, Slaughter Beach, or,
Yeah.
yeah, I really like that song, Sunrise on Slaughter Beach. That's got a really cool groove to it.
Yeah, 'cause I'm pulling it up now because of course I don't really remember what the name
Yeah, there's We Strive for
oh
Excellence.
Red Alert is
Yeah.
the one that they have been playing on Liquid Metal.
Oh, okay.
So that was the one that I was familiar with.
Yeah, Sunrise on Slaughter Beach is a little slower. It reminds me of something like off Robot Hive Exodus or something.
No.
So it's pretty cool. So I'm hoping they play that one because I've never heard them play that one. Heard Red Alert and We Strive for Excellence before, like, got a year ago when they first started touring again. They were playing them.
Oh, okay.
So no, last time they were here, they played Red Alert. So
Gotcha.
yeah, but I haven't been to Raleigh. The Ritz, it looks like a cool place. It's only 2.5 hours, so we're staying overnight. I'm not driving back. So
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess no reason to.
no, I have all my time laid out already. I have the week after Thanksgiving off. I got the week after Christmas off. I got some other days here and there, and I still have like a week off. I got to figure out what to do with it. So,
Yeah.
yeah. So, barring any other unforeseen bullshit. So this isn't the year of going places, I guess, which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to run around Raleigh quite as much as I had wanted to when I was down there. The couple places I hit though were pretty good. What did I only got to hit? Oh, I got to hit a couple there when I was down in Raleigh. 'Cause the one I'm trying to think of the name of it, and now I can look it up on Untappd by way of the beer, 'cause I know what I have in there. It's a bike theme.
Oh, okay. Well, we're staying around a couple of them. One's almost walking. Like we have a hotel that's walking distance to the club, so that's cool. Anytime I don't have to drive, just in general, I'm fine with that now.
Oh.
We had like our last team meeting on Tuesday, and they, for whatever reason, chose a pe a pl eh, chose a place that was right next to where we used to work. And the second I got on seven, well, one, just having to drive, but then the second I got on 77, it was immediately stopped. I'm like, I don't miss this at all. Like, I'm like, they used to do this every day. Like, but I was also going in early so I wouldn't get caught. But I usually would get caught on the way home. And I just.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. There are enough people off the road now where, well, A, it's still a super ridiculously short drive for me at this juncture. But also, yeah, there are enough people off the roads that it's not that bad.
Not here.
You know, it's busy, but there are a lot of work from home. And yeah, I'm ready to join that at least for Fridays. I am. Ready to upgrade Stunt Granny Studios here and also work from the new setup here.
I don't care about going back. The people I work with are nice. And I'll save the rest of it for off the air. But it's not like there's only one person I really have anything in common with. And even then, it's still like, okay, we have something. Not a lot. Like we're friendly. But
No.
I'm like, I don't need, I don't know. It's like I don't need to be with you guys. I don't know. I'm having a bad week. So just
Yeah, I mean, I'm just in a different. It helps to be around people with my job. It doesn't necessarily mean everything, as a lot of people are working remote 3 days a week, so. But it does help a little bit, I think, from time to time.
I think sometimes it would help communication if someone could just ask you a question.
Yeah.
You can hear them, see them, whatever else. Like, I had this one today. Excuse me, I had this one today. Our system doesn't work. I've been saying it for a year and a half. It doesn't work right. So they were like, hey, what's going on with this? I'm like, that's a really vague question. So I'm like, well, I worked it yesterday, blah, blah, or 2 days ago. And I guess the numbers didn't work because the system didn't work that I'm being told over and over again works. So I have to take all their stuff out. Halfway through, they're like, hey, don't take these numbers out. And I go, no. They totally disconnected. Everything goes. Well, if you take the numbers down, they won't work. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. So they started throwing a fit. I'm like, I don't go off of what you tell me. I go off of what's on this order. So if they want it, then they have to order all their services all over again. And I'm like, this stuff's been down. Legitimately been down for 3 weeks. They just figured it out. Like, I have no sympathy. You don't need the service if you didn't know it was working. But just all sorts of shit. I'm not going to like being on this new team. So the short of it is the people that I work with routinely, continually expose themselves for not knowing how to do this job. And I don't mean intricate items. I'm talking basics. Absolute and utter basics. They don't know how to do them. And if you can't do that, like I don't know your field, so I can't relate it to anything you do. But if you can't do this, you can't do anything else. And this meeting, I don't like meetings anyways because most of the time they don't apply to me. It was going on and on. I'm like, I got to get to the gym. So I told my buddy Andrew, I was like, hey, I'm leaving. So if they say anything, just tell them I lost my internet connection. He's like, I got you, because he was done with it too. He texted me while I was at the gym. It was 12:15, 12:30. He goes, still going. And I just wrote back, fuck that. Like, no, there's nothing that we need an hour and a half meeting for. But this is like 2 weeks in a row it's been that way. And I don't know everything because I'm not stupid enough to say that. But goddamn, do I know a lot more than they do. And that's embarrassing because they've been there longer than me. So... And some of them get paid more than me, which is still the one that rarely gets me.
Fair enough.
Is Eric Bieniemy still the offensive coordinator at Kansas City?
I believe so.
Oh, I thought that was him. What did he do wrong?
People keep on asking that question.
I mean, I know he had a drinking problem way back when, but apparently he's gotten that under control.
Yeah, I would, well, I would hope he wouldn't hold down this job, but then again, we did have Andy Reid's son drinking and driving from the facility and crippling a young child, so, you know,
yeah, maybe it's like happening. Yeah, I saw like a headline about that. He pled out or whatever?
Yeah.
And I was like, from when? And I go, all the way back then? Like, that's still going?
The court system does not move quickly. If I am unfortunately too familiar with such things.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I even intentionally did not try to obtain a child, and they still sent me more paperwork, and that lasted longer than I would have ever cared for. Like, that shit drug out for, was it actually more than a year? I think from the time that I got the notice until the time of, like, the court, even after the official decision, gave me one last chance to appeal. I do think that it was, like, 15 months or something bonkers like that.
That's the epitome of, like, someone just going, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. You sure? Yep, I'm sure.
Are you... Stop asking me. That one was, are you really sure? And I'm just like, Oh, fucking A. Stop it, people.
Okay, one last chance. I'm not understanding how this isn't totally understandable that it, I don't want anything to do with this.
It was bordering on harassment. The government, I suppose, isn't allowed to harass. Well,
what are you talking about? Yes, they are.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. They're allowed to harass you. So.
Yeah, and if it is harassment, they'll just make up a new law that says, oh, no, we're allowed to do that. So, you know. Yeah. Just, I didn't know they were still like giving you a chance. Like, are you sure? Listen. I don't know. Like, what a weird Puritan thing. Like, are you sure this isn't your kid? Like, wait, I don't remember the details. Were you on the... You were not on the birth certificate.
Yes, I was.
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right.
But that's because of, like, yeah. One of those... That's one of those... if you're doing a podcast about obscure laws, you can bring this up. Where... she did not admit in court that she was pregnant at the time of our divorce. So, by law, the child was mine, even though... It was not mine.
Oh, it's a dumb noise.
Because the actual father did try to sign the birth certificate in the hospital. But he was denied because of said law.
Oh, you never told me that.
Yes. Yeah. So, as far as... that's what I was told. Someone along the way... Oh... His lawyer told me that.
Oh my god.
So, cause I was like, can I expedite this thing? Like, I don't want this on my plate. And she's like, nope, you've got to let the court system play out. And I'm like, fuck.
And you ever wonder, like, why the court system's bogged down? Because one, nonsense like this. Just from the onset. Hey, I'm actually, like, you know, the DNA's mine. Yeah, but she's like, you know, married.
Well, and that's it. The, yeah.
That's just bizarre.
Yeah, if Dumbbell just would have admitted it in court, this...
I almost said something else.
You know, it would have saved a whole lot of this. It would have saved all of this hassle. Although, no, actually, the hassle just would have taken place then. And I actually would have needed to pay for a DNA test. I would have been pretty pissed off about that.
I would be like, no, you pay for it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see any dimes coming out of this empty wallet, so you're out of your mind. Yeah, don't forget, it was different back then. It's not now. So.
Oh, man.
I've never had that, thank God.
Yeah, so, the court system with people like, I think it's Britt Reed. Good God, that shit, it can take just entirely too long. It you know, and that's when it took, you know, like 15 months with cooperative parties, basically. You know, the only thing more I probably could have done was actually go into court. But they told me I'd lose the case if I didn't show up. And I'm like, well, then fuck that. I'm not showing up. Like, I don't want to win this case.
Like, door number one that's open and it's a paradise, or door number two that you can hear people screaming behind? Yeah, I'm going to go with door number one. You sure? You sure you don't want to? Yeah, I'm positive. I am positive. Yeah. I remember when I got adopted. Like, the judge was, like... I don't remember if we had a lawyer or not. God, it's so long ago now. But I actually had to go... I was an adult. Well, you know, by age, I guess. But, yeah, I had to go before the judge by myself to make sure I wasn't being coerced into this. And even after, he still could have turned it down.
Because that was separate from when I met you, though, when you changed your last name.
No, that's the same. No, that was the same time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then I remember.
Yeah, that was just, that was the most bizarre. It made it nerve-wracking. Like, what should have been something happy?
No.
Was like, he's going to say yes, right? Like, just looking around like, I think that was after my, like, run-in with the Kent City judge or whatever. And they gave us a, well, you weren't there, but we got a ticket for being too loud when there was no one in the building. So... Except for the girls upstairs who clearly called. But, no, I was driving by. I could hear it from your car. Bullshit. Shut the fuck up. Those things were made out of giant bricks. That stuff was not getting through. Bricks upon bricks. So, no. I don't buy that for one fucking second.
Yeah, the equipment was just starting to get good at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, so... I mean, Scott always had, like, try to get the nicest stuff, but those apartments were pretty solid. Like, did they hear it in your cop car from the parking lot? Which, by the way, I never thought of this. Why were you driving through the parking lot? And how far the parking lot was away from, like, our apartment? Liar. Then I was hostile. Shut up, you fucking dick. Yeah. Because it's like... December 27th. No one's there. Like, ugh, whatever. Still holding a grudge after all these years. A healthy distrust was born if it already wasn't there. So, that was for, like I've talked about this before. If for something minor like that, I can't imagine all the other egregious bullshit they do. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, totally different topic. Have you watched any of this new Lord of the Rings show?
I have not.
Yeah, either have
I. It's on the docket to watch at some point. We're kind of clearing some other things out of the way before getting to it, honestly. Because we had started Umbrella Academy, so we're still trying to... When you only do, like, an episode a night, and when you travel, it's just kind of like... You know, you don't get around to watching those weekly shows sometimes.
She's about to start the new season, The Handmaid's Tale. So I don't find that show interesting at all. It's the same every episode. Someone's sad, someone cries, someone dies. Rinse, repeat. Next episode, someone dies, someone cries, something happens. Like, just like, okay, it's bleak. I get it.
So. yeah, haven't had to worry about watching that one.
It's a well thought out show, and it's funny. Like at the, you know what it's about, right?
Is it like Puritan kind of time period, like colonial time?
No, it's the future. And I didn't watch it from the beginning, so I'm gonna get some of these details wrong. But basically, the United States, I think, had a civil war or something, and part of the government is, like, puritanical with these weird rules. And they have, like, the power people. Like, women have no rights anymore. They're basically... Unless you're, like, in the upper class, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And they're always, like... The handmaids are always the ones that, like, have to do everything. To the point where Elise was telling me that, like, if they want to get pregnant, that the guy will fuck the handmaids while, like, the handmaid's laying on the wife... And I was like, well, I've seen movies like that. That's kind of hot, so I'm down with that. But then I guess it's like rape, and I was like, well, that's no fun. But then they started escaping, and it was like underground, and like Chicago, and like some of the Midwest is still the old ways, but Canada's still the exact same. You know, like overseas, they're the exact same, like just the United States. And I went, well, that's garbage. That would never happen. So you kind of lost me on that. But... The more you keep seeing, I was like, this is stupid, this will never happen. And the more you keep seeing how things are trying to change here for the worst, I'm like, huh. Maybe I need to back off a little bit.
Yeah. It doesn't sound that out of control to me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen in our lifetimes. Like the whole any system just takes too long for that to happen, especially at this point. Like
I mean, there's a whole bunch to it. So I mean, there's a lot. But I'm just like, I don't know, paraphrasing the right word, but you know, whatever. But it's just, it's bleak.
Oh.
Everything's like gray and dark, and then they go to Canada and it's like lit up, and like people can like escape to Canada. And I was like, well, if our government was this bad, wouldn't they just bomb rush Canada and take over?
Yeah, I'd be over in Canada in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but I think I'm guessing I'm missing details, but it's a well acted show. It's well produced.
Yeah,
like nothing looks fake. It's all shot on location, which is really awesome. So I like it for the technical parts, but I just whatever. So yeah.
Yeah, and still wrestling takes up entirely too much of my my viewing time.
Dude, yeah, which I'm like, these asides we start with, we probably need to start cutting down because Jesus Christ, it's being interested in everything again is not helping.
Oh.
Like, before, I was like, whatever, Raw, whatever. NXT, eh. AEW, alright, it's on. I enjoy it. It's got major problems, but I enjoy it. I don't have access, so I can't watch Impact anymore, so that sucks. I started watching something else again on... Oh, I found myself watching AAA the other night.
Oh, jeez.
And it wasn't good, mind you, but... Because, you know, my...
Yeah, you are.
Take on Lucha.
Yeah, you are a Lucha fan in hiding.
It's so overly scripted. I like not overly scripted.
Choreographed? Is that the one you want to go with?
In such bad acting. I mean, for wrestling, it's bad.
Yeah. There's definitely a certain bar that you're setting for wrestling, and when you're below that bar, it's pretty rough.
Yeah, like, I was watching a match, and it was... Some people I recognized. Vampiro was the referee.
Oh, wow.
So that was pretty crazy, because I thought he couldn't take bumps anymore. I know Conan can't, but I thought, like, Vampiro had some, like, mental issues, so he couldn't afford getting concussions or anything. But he was the referee, and of course got beat up at the end. I was like, oh. I mean, that actually surprised me. So I was like, well, you got me. So or maybe I just don't know what I'm talking about. I can't remember. Cybernetico was one. Was it Cybernetico? Somebody and somebody else. And 88 people running around the ring. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. It doesn't help. YouTube does not provide English translation. How can you not have that? Because I even went to the subtitles. It was only Spanish.
Oh. Well, that's and it's a taped show, or was this?
Taped. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That seems like a no-brainer to have subtitles in English at some point, unless that's on the company that's producing it. I don't know.
That's what I was wondering, and I'm expecting that is. And if they haven't made that decision, then they're dumb. Why would you have it on American YouTube? I understand there's a lot of Spanish-speaking people in this country, so you know. I'm not lost on that, but you can also grow your audience.
Because I don't know what's going on. If you at least have the option, it would seem to make a great deal of sense to do subtitles in English or Spanish. Like it.
Yeah, man, it's totally different. Like, I'm trying to correlate, like, going to a Mexican restaurant, I don't know, this is the best example I can come up with, and trying to pronounce something on the menu. And they help you. Oh, okay. There's that, and then there's people who are speaking Spanish while they're doing wrestling, and I have no idea what they're saying. Even picking out the words you know, they talk so fast that you have no idea what they're saying. So I'm like, oh, I'm guessing he's the bad guy? And I know I've bitched about this before. AAA, Lucha, whatever, they are notorious for the most... ridiculous camera cuts to the fans that puts like WWE and AEW look like Oscar winning, Emmy winning directorial.
Oh, jeez.
At least most of the time they find people who are excited. Where AEW will just go to somebody, they'll just sit there. And you're like, why is this? Why did you go to the shop?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those recently, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, why did you cut to that person?
Yeah, I'm like, were they really celebrating and saw the red light and just went dead on you? That's pretty funny. Or did you say the wrong camera? It's not like this isn't
That's the behind the scenes stuff that we want.
Like for me, I'm always I like this sort of stuff. So yes, I do want to know. I would love that'd be cool as hell. Even if it was just once. Like I just have like the feed because like this Thursday Night Football game, you can watch this, the Spanish version, Dude Perfect, whatever that is.
That's pretty fun. Ken and I did an OPA, at least partially, on those guys. They do just a bunch of dumb stunt stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, like it all has to do with sports for the most part. You know, they're doing dumb things with, like, ping pong balls and... Because I know that they've had different, like... sports personalities on to do kind of weird trick shots and things that like they've done a lot of billiard stuff. Yeah, what they kind of stunt is all over the place. It's a lot of fun though. Like I don't watch them consistently, but what I did see, I enjoyed quite a bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was just weird. That was like just one of the options and I was like, huh? So, I mean, I guess this is their take on, like, ESPN having the Manning brothers do a game.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe it's more like the WWE bringing in someone who's, like, I don't even know if Logan Paul's, I guess, an extreme example, but it works. You know, a social media personality to try and drive the online viewers.
Yeah. Well, I was watching, or I was more listening to Roman Reigns on that Logan Paul, I don't remember what it's called.
No, yeah.
Anyways, his YouTube thing.
Right.
Yeah, really, really cool interview. It's worth just listening to. Roman's pretty cool. He's pretty laid back. Insightful, too. I don't know what I was expecting. More so, I guess, because you rarely see him out of character.
Yeah, I don't feel like he's done a whole, you know, like a lot of other top guys, he doesn't seem to do a lot of interviews.
And that's why I wanted to watch. I wanted to get some insight into him. I didn't get through the whole thing yet, but yeah, I was really enjoying it, though. I think that was when I had to go to the gym or something. But he talks about, like, find out how he has leukemia. Talks about, like, hanging out with the Usos, his kids. Oh. And, like, working together. So it's you get it. Spoiler! He has 5 kids.
I knew that he was at least up to 3 or something like that.
He
but
he has 2 sets of twins.
Oh wow! That's
crazy.
Yeah, it's wild enough to have a set of twins. It's extra wild to have 2 sets.
And I think Logan Paul or what? Logan Paul's fine. I don't know anything about him other than the wrestling stuff and this thing. He seems like a nice dude. I don't know.
Hey,
these 2 guys that are on there just seem like just douches.
Oh, for the dude perfect guys.
I don't know who the hell they are. So
yeah, I don't know how they do with rolling with the game. Honestly. Because that whole, there's so much good insight from Peyton and Eli, it's one of those ones where it's just like, you can't do this. Like, these are 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks talking to each other just because they're in the same family, you know.
Yeah.
Is extra wild, but it's just, they've had such experiences and they also have so many people on during their program.
Did you see this week's, like, the end? Or the video of the end?
No.
Peyton Manning's going out of his mind. Like, very calmly, he goes, all right, you just take a time out here. You know, fourth and three, manageable. And you see Peyton just constantly doing the timeout thing with his hands. And you can see him getting more and more frustrated. Like, hey, timeout. He's like, just constantly keeps doing it. And Shannon Sharpe's like, what are they doing? And Eli goes, they're not playing for a kick, are they? And they keep going. And Peyton goes, they're going to kick the ball? And he goes, there's the timeout. Like, he was just incredulous. Like, what are we, like, I was the same way. Like, what are we, you're playing for a 64-yard field goal?
Oh,
which, if accurate, would have gone in, by the way. That's lost on, you know, missing it.
Well, yeah, anything over 50, you're asking for trouble. B, anything over 60, you're almost guaranteed to miss it. You know, like, those are, like, even nowadays when they've kind of stretched the field a little bit more with the quality of kickers, that's still a big ask. But there were, man, there were some boneheaded coaching decisions this past week.
Holy
smokes.
And we were eating, and the Lions weren't on. I figured they were going to the end of the Lions game after one of the other ones. They didn't. I was like, okay. We were there for that Cincinnati-Pittsburgh debacle. That was some fun people watching.
That was one where there were some questionable coaching decisions, especially on Cincinnati's part.
I love the fact they had 8 shots to score a touchdown to win the game. And on the last one, it took them. They scored. And I went, well, that's over. And then, like, the Pittsburgh guys start celebrating. I'm like, what are you guys so happy about? And I went, did he miss this? And who was it? Ryan Clark blocked it?
Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, same thing.
Ryan Clark has been an announcer for ESPN for, like, 5 years or something like that now. Like, that's how he's been out of the league for a while now.
I don't know where I got that name from. All right, whatever. I knew it was wrong. I just said it anyways. But yeah. And then what? Pittsburgh? What? 4-3 and out. Cincinnati missed. Pittsburgh missed. Cincinnati missed again. Like, oh my god! Just call the game. Just tie.
Yeah. How that one did not end up in a tie was a small miracle. Honestly, like, I was ready for 2 ties. And I guess the other thing that would have been ironic about it would have been the same exact score if both games had ended in a tie. Because the Texans, is it Texans-Colts that ended in 2020? And the Bengals and Steelers went into overtime at 20-20.
Jesus.
Wow. So, yeah, if both sets would have tied, it would have been the same exact score. Which, yeah, that's another one that's just kind of bonkers. But yeah, whole lot of bad decisions in coaching, and that 64-yard field goal. Because yeah, they were missing their long snapper, and they had the backup guy in. And then on top of that, they didn't have their regular kicker. Because you were talking about settling for a 64-yard field goal. There's the one drive in overtime. Cincinnati just goes, oh, you know what? We're just going to let our kicker get this one. Huh?
I was trying to figure out what college game did. Oh, Alabama, I think. Yeah, Alabama was dicking around. They're moving the ball just fine. And all of a sudden, they just went, all right, field goal. And I'm like, Nick Saban's a super genius. He hasn't learned? Like, the most famous missed kick in college football history? That was against you guys. Like, and I mean, it worked out, but...
Oh, right.
I don't understand playing for a field goal ever. That should be your last resort. As a professional coach, especially as we talked last week, how much they get paid, that should always be your last resort. And hey. I don't know, if they just run the ball, nice, easy passes, like, safe, but never... Oh, no, 45-yard field goal, no problem. No, that's 45 yards.
Yeah, anything past 40 yards, you're starting to ask questions, especially with a college kicker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't even remember how many Division I schools there are going all the way to Division I AA or whatever they want to call it.
Oh.
And then there's only, how many teams are in the NFL, 32?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there still aren't 32 good ones.
Exactly.
Kind of so like the whole quarterback situation. There's still not 32 good quarterbacks.
Yeah. So, but I guess we should get back to wrestling. But yeah, so I would love to see that sort of stuff on wrestling. But I don't know. Like, Raw was fine this week. It was a good show. It didn't bore me, but it was like nothing. They did another Edge injury angle. I guess he's going to be out this time. Unlike the last time he got his ass beat, came back a week later.
Well, no. I mean, he was just gone for a while because he had vignettes for like a month plus before he came back.
Right, but then he got his ass beat 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're like, oh, that's the injury angle. Oh, no, I'm going to fight Dominic. And now's the injury. Like, wait. Like, what? And did Finn not understand the assignment? He apparently made this understood the assignment. What the hell is it called? The double foot stop?
Oh, the coup de grace.
Yeah, that thing looked vicious.
Thing has looked rough the last a lot of them recently.
Yeah, I was like, these people steal your money? Like, goddamn, dude. But I wonder if that's part of the aesthetic change. Hey guys, let's snug this stuff up.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I don't know.
Could be.
But, yeah, but I mean, Raw, I don't know, Raw makes sense. I thought the Gargano match was a little long.
Yeah, I was in some ways surprised that it went as long as it did. I wasn't completely surprised. They did try to sell the whole ring rust thing. At least the commentators did. I guess that it, for me, I hope that means that he's not going to have a long, drawn out match next go round.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. See, the bad thing is like it was taking him a while to put him away. But it wasn't like he was rusty. You know what I mean? It was a really good match, but it's a little too long. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I want to say that without pulling up the review, I remember mentioning it to Chris that I think it was like 13 and a half minutes, something in that area.
Yeah, it was long. I think it was almost 15. But that's what I don't know. I was trying to remember the old NXTs. They didn't have these long matches, right? Like, the main event was usually long, but the rest of the undercard wasn't. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is, obviously, the guy in charge.
Yeah, he has a little more airtime, and I also think that, to me, it's kind of smart. Like, they need to do some retooling, and it's going to be a process here, I think.
Yeah, well, like we talked about, man, I don't think we're going to see significant changes for a while. We're already seeing it in, like, well, not match quality. The matches weren't always the bad thing. It was the
No, matches, I mean, I have enjoyed them more under Triple H, but they really weren't a problem under Vince. I do think that Triple H has given people a little more time, and that's helped out. I think it's helped give these longer matches a little more something to work towards. Because I do think that when you get to that 12 to 15 minute area, kind of depending, like sometimes, yeah, you're kind of in this weird zone where you think you can have a really good match, but you don't necessarily have the time to go all in for a match. Like, I feel like you need at least 15 minutes. Maybe it's that 10 to 15 minute, or 10 to 12 and a half minute mark that gets a little squirrely for me. Because short matches are easy to put together, I think, and then you kind of almost need 15 or more.
Yeah, I main event, I think, is fine. But everything else, I don't know. I think 10's fine. Because can't you get away with a 10-minute match and then no commercial breaks in between?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay. I would think. But, I mean...
Yeah, you would be bookending commercials for the beginning and end of that thing. But you would be able to do it, I think, at a 10-minute time slot.
Yeah, and especially with the amount of people that they're still not using on the show, if you cut some stuff down, you know, you can have other people have, you know, some time. Like, where's Dominik Dijakovic, or whatever he's called right now, T-Bar, right?
Yeah, I would imagine he might be in for a rebranding. He desperately needs it.
I mean, Shelton Benjamin hasn't been seen. Cedric Alexander. I'm just trying to think of people real quick. Who else? Shit. The one guy, Veer Mahan, hasn't been around.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was half shocked when Omos showed up this week.
That's where I was going. Like, all of a sudden, Omos shows up, and you're like, oh, okay, if you say so.
Yeah, the week after we joke about him losing his spot to Braun Strowman, he pops back up.
I guess that's because Braun is on SmackDown now. So now they can have their giant on Raw again. Which is bizarre to me that that's actually a thing, but... I know why they do stuff like that, but I'm just like, why? It's okay to have more than one guy, because it doesn't, like, keep them separate. Wouldn't that kind of build anticipation up to see the two of them go at it? But,
I think that there would be a little more anticipation build on the same show. The problem gets to be... when do they go against each other? When's it been too long?
True. Yeah, like, how can you constantly keep them separate?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can, but not that long, I suppose. But, yeah, of course, it was just a nice squash match and went on with this business. Like, okay. Bobby Lashley... Oh, I did like the tease with Seth Rollins and Bobby Lashley at the end. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that I feel like they foreshadowed a couple of feuds. That was one of them on Raw. That it was just like, oh, you have something lined up for this person after? Because clearly Seth Rollins is going to go against Matt Riddle again at some juncture. So that thing, I would imagine that means setting up Lashley and Rollins for a later time period. So
I still think Rollins or Riddle will interfere and cost them the match. I think that's definite. I think this is just a holdover because they started off so pronounced about making the U.S. title important, right? And it's kind of taken a back seat.
Bobby Lashley's kind of, he's definitely suffered a little bit, with this, change in direction.
Yeah, I don't know, it almost seems like it just kind of cooled off to where the Intercontinental title on SmackDown is definitely not cooled off at all.
Anything,
they made that thing way more important now. So
yeah,
and as it should be, like that. I don't know if you and Chris talked about it, but that reaction Sheamus got on SmackDown, that was insane. Because that was here. It wasn't in the UK. They're gonna have like their they're gonna have their homer pick. That crowd was going legit nuts for Sheamus. Here, a guy that I don't believe has ever been a face, right? I cannot think of one time, even when he was in the bar, Cesaro was the good guy, he was the dick.
Yeah, but they were definitely both good guys at some point. I'm with you, though. I feel like almost all of his run in WWE, he's been a heel.
Yeah. I mean, I would still maintain, even in the bar, it was kind of like what they're doing with, well, what they're doing with Keith Lee and Swerve. One's the face, one's the heel. Although, people are starting to boo Keith Lee now. So, you know, I guess by proxy, you know, or guilt by association, I guess. And as a quick aside, every time I see Swerve Strickland come out, I'm like, how? How the fuck do you let that guy go? That guy's fucking money. Anyways,
we can go wrong now. Yeah, that one's a mystery. And, of course, that's also one that... no, they have been. I forgot that Hit Row's been on with the Street Profits there on Friday. Never mind. They've gotten their TV time.
But... it's just bizarre to me.
Yeah. Because I... Oh, yeah, because I think it was Kevin Owens and Austin Theory thing.
Okay.
Just because that's another one that, to me, I'm like, are we foreshadowing a feud here? Or does Austin Theory just have two feuds going on at the same time?
I was like, what is this about? It was really weird. Almost like, I don't know, like some sort of public reprimand. Because there was no feud between the two of them. And Kevin's just doing all this stuff, and he's just looking pissy, and it's like, what's going on here? Like, why are they so angry? Like, why is Kevin Owens so mad at him? It's not just being Kevin Owens, you know, that character. So...
Yeah. Chris felt like it was maybe something of a retort to John Moxley's heartfelt wrestling speech.
I mean, I guess it could be considered that, but
Moxley
was talking about himself, and Owens was talking about Austin Theory.
Well, and just himself. Well, actually, he's kind of talking more about the industry as a whole, I kind of felt like.
I don't know. This just seems like such a weird thing to do if that was the case. Like, why bother?
I don't know. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me either. Aside from being a good, you know, like, it was a good segment, and Kevin Owens can, you know, talk a blue streak up, but it didn't necessarily make a lot of sense, per se.
Yeah, I just didn't get it. Like, okay, you're just bitching this guy out, huh? And, like, Austin Theory didn't say anything back, which was even stranger. He's just taking it. It's like, okay, what weird direction.
Austin Theory's been beat up probably one too many times. Especially for the amount of TV time that he's getting. It's one of those situations where it feels like, hey, it seems like a classic Vince one. We're sending him out here just to take a beating. And it's just like, okay. Like, I don't really need that for anyone under anyone's regime. You know, push a guy or don't push a guy. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, I don't get why you would put him in that position when you'd already started to turn his character serious. Like, the goofiness... Like, he's still doing the selfie bit, but it's obnoxious. And I'm sorry, it's arrogant, not obnoxious. There's a difference.
Yeah, right.
So why, like, I didn't get the berating part. And if, like, to go with Chris's theory or idea, whatever, I can see why he'd think that. I don't get why you bother. Like, the situation is totally different. Unless that was Triple H pulling Kevin Owens aside, he'd be like, hey, this speech is going to be geared at Austin Theory, but this is for everyone in the locker room. Like, Triple H picked his locker room leaders, I guess, if you want to put it that way.
Oh.
And Kevin Owens is clearly one of them. I think he's been one of them anyways.
Right.
So.
Yeah, Kevin Owens has definitely had his fair share of moments recently.
Yeah. I mean, even going back to when he said he was leaving during the COVID stuff. And Vince McMahon had to personally talk to him, like, why are you leaving? Kevin said, this is exactly why, and Vince changed things.
Oh.
So he has a legit voice that gets listened to. So, it just took me by surprise. The crowd seemed to eat it up. So, like, legit eat it up. Unlike, all right, this Dexter Lumis stuff is so dumb. Which is why I like it. Because him being in Miz's house and the crowd goes crazy for it, or the crowd goes crazy for it, I was like, they're not really cheering. And also, why are you cheering the guy that's stalking people? I know it's the Miz, but still.
Oh. Yeah, it is one of those strange ones that a mute stalker, evidently very popular.
Like, yes, and again, I don't want to repeat ourselves, but he still has said nothing. No idea why he's going after the Miz, why he's going into Miz's house. It's just like, okay. And who's going to explain it? He doesn't talk. So it's just bizarre. Like, oh, okay, buddy. So, but I was trying to think what else happened on Raw, and I don't really remember much else. We had Dominic and Edge, which was Dominic versus Edge.
Yeah, there's not much to talk about, and we do usually tend to move to the Tuesday and Wednesday night shows around these parts anyway.
I thought NXT was fine. That was an entertaining show. The Creed and Pretty Deadly was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. As soon as they had it on first, I had a suspicion that something was going to go on there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that what was it? It was off the top rope, flip, and then Julius just lands on his feet. Like, a guy that tall landing on his feet like that? That was crazy.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be something else.
Yeah, and he's leaving his brother in the dust, too. It just is what it is right now.
His brother gets a lot of love from our good buddy Vic Joseph, but that is about it.
It's not that he's bad; he's just not as charismatic as his brother. You know, it's not his fault, and I'm not even saying that it's going to be like that way forever. But right now, I mean, if it's a one horse race right now, so. And plus, he's got, like, the MMA body, too. Where Brutus has, like, the old 80s power wrestler body going. And a weird doughy baby face, too, which is just bizarre. So, I don't know. I'm not bagging on either one of them. I'm just calling, like, a seat in this.
Right. So,
and he needs to get rid of that stupid Brutus bomb. God, I hate that.
Yeah, it just looks silly. Yeah, I am not a big fan.
No, because it just, I mean, he's huge, and he's just flying, and it's like, it's a Samoa Joe thing. Samoa Joe should have never done this. Whenever someone jumps off the rope at him, he just steps to the side. And it's like, oh, this guy just put himself into a cannonball? Okay, just move. Why would I sit there and let you hit me? It's stupid. So, I mean, unless, like, everyone's not paying attention, that'd be kind of cool. Just like a bowling ball, basically.
Right. Yeah, I mean you could do that. But yeah, still not not a big fan of that situation.
No, and then I was trying to think, because so the Toxic Attraction was on. Mandy Rose just eviscerating the locker room. Alba Fire comes out. Like, okay, that feud makes sense. Okay. I don't like how they incorporated the NXT UK people in, and now they're all gone. Like, Tyler Bate was on last week, but
What's it? Tyler Bate has stuck around.
Well, no, I'm just talking this week specifically, unless they were trying to concentrate on, like, where NXT is now. Because JD McDonagh is considered NXT now, not NXT. Pretty Deadly's the same way.
Yeah.
Not seen.
'Cause yeah.
Bate wasn't even on this week.
Yeah, he was. He had a promo.
Okay, I must have missed that then. So.
Yeah, so there was that at least.
Trying to think. Because Tony D'Angelo had a backstage. He didn't wrestle.
Yeah, he was in the tag match.
I'm so fucking lost right now. This whole internet crash has just pissed me off to no end. So I'm trying to be cool, and I'm just not. This shit has been going on for 3 weeks. There's so much construction around this area, it just goes off for no reason. And this is Thursday at 10 o'clock at night. It went down again. So I did watch NXT. It just
Oh
doesn't
yeah,
make
because
sense.
it was him and Stacks against Cameron Grimes, and Joe Gacy ended up becoming the mystery, I suppose, tag team partner.
Wait a goddamn minute. Did you miss everything I said after that?
Yes, I did.
I just, I just thought Joe Gacy was really good as a baby face. I still hate his character. He's the Windy Chew of the men. I hate her again.
Well, I don't know why with Wendy, and like I thought about that as I was watching the show, and I'm just like,
I'm gonna fucking scream. I just want to let you
I was
know.
like, why did they go back to Wendy Chu as a, snuggie loving idiot?
I don't get it. Sorry. She came out with her stupid cup and they used sound effects for her drinking. That wasn't her fake drinking. That was a sound effect. And I was like, hey, this gimmick sucks already. Let's just stop doing that. Like, you had a chance to abandon this. And I don't get it. I honestly don't get it.
And
And
it seemed like they were in fact abandoning it.
it did. It really did. It seemed like she beat Tiffany Stratton. We're off and running. Everything's good. Then she comes out and ruins it all this week. Like, and again, it's the character. She showed she can go in the ring. That match was fun with her and, Tiffany a few weeks ago. It was good.
Yeah.
And they just went, nah, screw it. Let's just give her the same dog shit again. Like, it's a weird decision for me. in my eyes to do that. But
yeah,
if that's what they want to do, fine, I guess. I'm just going to continue to hate it. I'm not coming around on this one. Like, even Tony D'Angelo.
Yeah.
I've come around a little bit, because he actually has toned down some of the stuff. So, okay. But this just isn't what I'm going to. I'm just not.
There isn't anything to grab on with it. You know? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Is a wrestling thing. You know, like, you can understand, like, the Tiffany Strattons of the world, Daddy's Little Girl, and stuff like that. Like, because it's more of, you know, that they're giving you a mindset. Mm-hmm. And something to come across. I don't know what Liking to Sleep says for you as a character.
Yeah, but again, this was a direct thing that was supposed to be like Orange Cassidy by someone who didn't understand Orange Cassidy at all. Like she sleeps all the time, doesn't really care, and it's like, okay, we can all see the correlation, but Orange Cassidy does it way better. And it's not the same, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that, and it just, yeah, it doesn't really translate that way.
No, yeah. I don't know, they were just throwing everything at the wall, and, I mean, we had a teacher, a sleepy chick, a mafia guy, I guess a prima donna athlete. Is that what Carmelo Anthony's supposed to be?
I believe so.
I guess, although he's awesome. Like, it backfired. And then Cameron Grimes is Cameron Grimes now. Even Wade Barrett said something about he used to run with money and do all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, at least someone's acknowledging that this guy is directionless. Which is too bad, because they had a great character as the, like, caveman Wall Street guy. It was great.
Yeah, so, yeah, and they decided to do away with it.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe some of that will come back, I don't know. He's another guy that just seemed like he was destined for the main roster, too. And now he's just kind of stuck.
Yeah, he's a guy that I don't understand why he isn't up there already.
Yeah.
He falls under that category of, he doesn't get anything from winning that championship now. For the most part, everyone knows how long he's been around wrestling at this juncture. Because, I mean, how many years was he on Impact before even coming over to NXT?
He was in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. He was on the Indies for a while before TNA. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a while. So, yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but yeah. So when he was Trevor Lee, yeah, Trevor Lee.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What'd you make of the main event? Like, the match itself, I thought was fine, but I just mean the outcome, I guess. Like, when Solo Sikoa showed up, I was legit surprised. Like, oh shit, they remembered.
I said I got next.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, he did. That's right. I mean, I gathered he's in SmackDown now. Peace out. And it's just one of those unresolved storylines. You know, what's happened?
Yeah. I dig the sliding in and up, or up and down from the main roster to NXT. You know, it's one of those ones where there's a fine line between doing it enough and doing it too much. For someone like him, it makes more sense. And I do like that you can sell the whole Bloodline is trying to extend their dominance to another brand. Storyline. Everyone has gold now. I know it's not the main championship. Maybe you have him go after Bron Breakker next, though. I'm not sure if that's the route that they're necessarily going to go.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Intercontinental title, I don't see Gunther losing anytime soon.
Oh.
They shouldn't, at least.
Yeah, I don't think Gunther's on the old chopping block.
No. So, yeah, I thought it was, I think it's intriguing, that's for sure. It made me go, wait a minute, what's going to happen next? Which, isn't that the whole point of these things? You know, like, it's not the end of a feud, it's the beginning of something now. So it's really smart. Because I don't know if I want Carmelo, I keep wanting to call him Carmelo Anthony. That's annoying. But I don't know if I wanted Carmelo Hayes to lose yet. Because he had that awkward spell where he lost the title and won it right back.
Oh. Yeah, he seemed like he maybe could have used a little more of a sustained featuring, I guess, is maybe the word I want to go with. Because they've done the barbershop stuff with him and Trick. They've gotten him on TV, but they haven't always... I do feel like he's kind of gotten a backseat sometimes, and that his feud has never been, like, except for this time, like, it hasn't been the show-closing feud.
Yeah. I really like those barbershop things. They didn't really make much sense, but they seemed at least a little bit authentic.
Oh, yeah.
To where, like, you could see him, like, hanging out and having, like, you know, little sidekick and Trick, like, you know, pumping him up and all that stuff. So I like those. I don't remember the last one they've done, though.
It wasn't that long ago. Maybe a couple weeks.
All right. But, yeah, I like that. I still think in some respects, now, you can tell that's a Triple H influence on the main roster. They're doing more backstage stuff and more vignettes and other things like that.
Yeah.
But they haven't gone full on, like, I guess vignettes of sort, but, like, scenes.
Oh, no, they haven't done anything like the sit-down between D'Angelo and... Santos Escobar.
Right.
Got tongue tied.
Yeah, we're not
with that
there
one.
Yet, and I welcome that if that ever happens.
Yeah.
That's how it used to be in the old days. That even with the Attitude Era, we all love. There was always those things. I mean, even I brought the bar. Remember how the bar came together? They were out at a bar here in Charlotte, actually.
Yeah. Oh.
And they got in a bar fight. Like, we're not getting that stuff much anymore.
Yeah, that was one of the last times that Vince kind of put something of that nature into a show.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm all for it. Especially with Raw, how it's 3 hours, you could really go and do some stuff. But, again, I think that's still just part of the process of how things are going to change. And I think eventually, I think we'll get some of that stuff. I really do. So,
yeah,
at least hopefully.
I do think that it's more of a time thing than a if thing. Just because, yeah, I mean, I don't really expect Triple H to change all that much either. I'm just much happier with the product that he chooses to put out.
Yeah, he still likes his, you know, talking segments to start the show and stuff, which they don't have to be that long, though.
Yeah, if they could talk anyone into the fact that it's just like, no, we can have the opening talk segment only be 10 minutes, I would love life.
Yeah, that's why I kind of like when they started, Miz and Logan Paul before SummerSlam, like, they're like, hey, this happened before the show started, and then they start fighting again. I was like, that was a cool way to start the show. Like, I kind of like sometimes when there's just chaos to start.
Uh-oh.
You can't do it all the time, or it becomes the norm. Or immediately have, like, hey, this was supposed to be later, or even have, like, the announcer's fake surprise. Or, I guess as Corey says, they don't know what's going on sometimes, and that's the way he likes it.
Oh.
So to have, like, you know, the big hyped main event tonight, no, it's happening right now. And you're like, wait, what? And then you're like, well, if they're putting this as the first match, what the hell are they going to do later? Like, I don't know if that psychology works, but it's different than a 20-minute talking segment.
Oh, for sure. Any thoughts on AEW for this week?
You already know what I'm going to say. I never want to see Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and the other guy. I'm sick of them. Was Sanjay Dutt always this terrible? I don't remember him being like this in TNA. I really don't.
He certainly has tried to up the annoying quotient, and he has done so very well.
I will disagree with the very well. Only
well, very well in and of the fact that he's actually annoying us.
But see, to me, it's a turnoff annoying. Like,
yeah.
This guy sucks. And I know he doesn't. Jay Lethal's just boring. Like, his matches are technically fine, but what's the most interesting thing he's ever done? Is impersonate somebody else.
Yeah. And even with his good matches, I do think that handspring finishers, they're
dumb.
Yeah, they're never really going to be for me.
No.
So, and I think both of his finishers involve some type of springboard action. Because there's the
somebody does the handstand, and I automatically go, this is dumb. So, it doesn't help your momentum at all.
Yeah, the only way you're getting away with that, that I'm buying it, is the, and even then, it's a little bit of a problem, is like the Hangman clothesline. I'm trying to think of, I don't know why
The buckshot?
The buckshot lariat, yeah.
I don't mind that when it's timed right.
That's its biggest problem, is sometimes the timing isn't there. To me, you can make sense of the momentum gain, at least, from doing what he's doing. Since he does slingshot himself into the ring. But when you're doing a handstand, I'm like, you're slowing your own momentum, you know, to do something.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't do anything. And I guess the other thing that's weird about it is it doesn't really do anything for a cutter.
No.
You know, it's one of those things where you can understand why Randy Orton kind of comes out of the, you know, out of the blue all the time. The handspring part of it, I'm like, this doesn't help you at all, so why are you doing it?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those moves now that they just do flips and shit for no reason. And I know how that sounds. Not flips, well, those, but also like twists.
Oh.
Like, there's a lot of times there's no reason for it. Like, it's just to look pretty and to show you can do it, which has its merit, obviously. But when more and more people do it, it takes away the novelty of it. And that's one thing that I went to a Ring of Honor show years ago, and everyone was doing the same stuff, and no one stood out.
Oh. Yeah, that's AEW's one of their bigger problems. I don't know if it's necessarily their biggest problem, but
no, it's their biggest problem is their booking doesn't make any fucking sense. I can't remember. Was the Wardlow thing talking about how, you know, people are saying that I've lost this step or I'm not as hot as I was? Was that last week?
I'm pretty sure that was last week. I think
okay.
he was in the, because I'm pulling up the report now. I feel like he was in a match this week. Because yeah. I feel like he was in a six-man match.
Well, that was at the pay-per-view for sure, so. But no, it just, like, okay, so this week, they already said.
Oh, that... no, he wasn't on this week.
Okay, so. Well, hey, buddy, yeah, you have cooled down. And just like we were talking last week, you're not even in the world title tournament. So, like...
Yeah, he was holding out to face CM Punk.
Yeah.
We know that suspension or not, from an injury standpoint, he was not going to face CM Punk for a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that goes back to you were talking about last week about some of the participants not making that much sense. Why isn't your secondary champion in the tournament?
Yeah. Or Pac, he's the Mid-Atlantic champion. And I know that they were going for the six-man titles, whatever. Trios titles.
Right.
But don't you think him wanting to go for the heavyweight title is a little more important? Or have him do double duty? I mean, I know it's not my body to put him through, but in the booking sense, it makes more sense that way.
Right.
Yeah. Unlike... scheduling a rematch between the Acclaimed and then Swerve and Keith Lee, and then for some reason, unbeknownst to anybody, the Lucha Brothers all of a sudden have a title match, and they lose. Right after they won the Trios titles, how they just got done saying there's so much momentum behind them. I was like, what is this? Why? Like, why did this have to happen? Like, where the fuck is FTR? Anyone who gets hot dies. Even Bryan Danielson being in this title tournament didn't make sense anyways. And now he's going to be in the finals. And I was like, he's lost more than he's won this year, I believe. So why? I mean, I know by name value, they want big names on the marquee. You know, what is that old adage? Because they've only sold 10,000 seats for this thing. Which I think that's half of the place.
For the event next week at the it's Arthur Ashe Stadium, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so I get it, but at the same time, I don't. And then, like, giving title shots out. Why the hell is Orange Cassidy? Like, I know him and Pac don't like each other and have matches in the far, far past. Didn't they have a feud when the crowds were, when they first started AEW? And they're still holding on to that. Which I thought Pac won that feud.
Yeah, they kind of alluded to the past, and I'm like, oh, I kind of remember that. But I don't really remember that.
Yeah, no, I remember. It was fine. That's when I really didn't understand Orange Cassidy, so I didn't like it.
Uh-oh.
And now that I get it, I'm like, oh, okay, this is actually pretty cool. Although he's gone on to be a little more serious lately. Like, taking the glasses off on his own and all this stuff, so...
Yeah. As much as I like that gimmick, that's one that I'm like, there's a ceiling to this thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's great. Obviously, the fans love it. But, yeah, I do think that it's limiting. Like, they being the announcers, have done a great job of selling his toughness. And I even think Taz was doing a pretty decent job of saying that he tries to get in his opponent's head with all the shenanigans that he pulls. And I'm like, okay, you know, it's getting somewhere. You know, there's always that point where I just feel like when it comes down to brass tacks and you're expecting someone to win a fight, I have a hard time buying Orange Cassidy. You know, as much as I enjoy a lot about his character, about his wrestling, honestly, I do think that he kind of needed the serious edge a little bit.
Yeah. It was, I don't know, the character study of him's odd. But yeah, I think a gradual getting more serious, like, I maybe, you know, he's still laid back, but the frustration showing because he's not winning.
Uh-oh.
To, like, kind of show that he does actually care. I don't know if that's a bad story to go along with it. Or does that go against his character altogether? Which I guess it doesn't, because he finally fires up during matches.
Uh-oh.
So, I don't know. But I mean, like, it's, the whole thing's just weird. And, like, they had that whole conglomeration with Stokely Hathaway in the ring. Will Morrissey wants to go there so he can do whatever he wants to do. What? Ethan Page, his main goal is a Mid-Atlantic title. Isn't that kind of low-hanging fruit? Like, wait, what? You don't want the main title? Okay. The Guns obviously want to get away from their dad, get it. Who else is in that thing?
Yeah, that...
Oh, Lee Moriarty. That's right.
Yeah, I've talked about it in the past. Groups bigger than three don't make a whole lot of sense. I'm not sure... I guess I liked what Stokely Hathaway was doing. I'm not sure why they've taken him away from being Jade Cargill's mouthpiece. I guess she doesn't necessarily need to have a mouthpiece, honestly, but...
I like how he tried to explain that, too. He was hanging out because he could get the gossip, you know, being around her and all that stuff.
Oh.
So...
Yeah, they did their best to cover all of the main points during that promo. I just found myself saying a lot, though, I don't care.
Yes.
It was kind of the main problem. Like, it's just like, oh, we're going to be together as long as MJF wants us together, and then we're going to break up. And I'm like, that's kind of refreshing, and I like that take. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not sure that I necessarily cared, though. So there's some upside, there's some downside to that segment. Yeah. And it definitely was one where that one just felt like, I'm like, oh my god, stop talking. And I think that's where the group size came in, because he spent time on every wrestler, and there's six of them, is it?
Moriarty, The Guns, Ethan Page, Will Morrissey. Am I forgetting somebody?
Okay, is it just the five then?
Yeah, five.
Plus himself, I guess, would make the six, but...
Well, they like their odd number group, too. Because remember, even the Pinnacle was MJF, Spears, FTR, and Wardlow. You know, Wardlow was technically Muscle. The Jericho Appreciation Society's got a zoo full of people. So...
That never hang out together.
Well, Jericho actually explained that he didn't, even with the Inner Circle, he goes, you know, we started off all together and we kind of went our separate ways, but we were always the Inner Circle.
Uh-oh.
And then we came back, and he goes, and he said that he didn't want them to break up. He goes, I wanted us to break up and go our separate ways, but never feud. Like, be the first faction in history that just broke up and didn't hate each other.
Yeah,
I guess he said the storyline with Eddie Kingston was too good, so.
No, okay.
Yeah, but no, like AEW, like, there's just problems there, man. And the match quality covers up. Like, Jericho Daniels was really good. Moxie Guevara was fine. I think Sammy Guevara's character has cooled down ridiculously. And I don't know why. But...
Hey, yeah, sometimes there's... There is a backlash when you're taking one of the drool-worthy women of the roster off the block. Kind of like Kip Sabian. Fuck that guy. Just completely ruined Penelope Ford.
And then he shows up and he's gone.
Oh.
He doesn't even accompany. Well, he did accompany to ringside that one last week, right?
I believe so, yeah, that he came down. But that doesn't do his character. That doesn't do his character any good, though. Like, okay, great, you're on TV. Doesn't do anything for him. Like, we're supposed to be getting over that he's kind of a badass, but then he lost his match, and he needs some type of a bounce back win. Maybe he got it on, you know, AEW Plans Examiner or whatever the fuck they're calling it these days. And yeah, sorry, I'm not going to catch that.
Yeah.
He can be on Elevation, he can be on Floor Plan, he can be on Section, AEW Section maybe. I don't know. Don't care. If it's not on the main TV, well, and this is something I talked to Chris about a little bit. Even Rampage, it really, like, I looked at the lineup from this past week, it looked like something that I should, like, didn't even bother trying to seek that out. Completely forgot to tape it. I don't feel bad about not watching it, though. And maybe that is part and parcel just because AEW has been such a mess.
Yeah.
Then it feels like you're not missing anything, missing that show.
No. Well, they're trying. I mean, they're trying this week at least, but I'm still like, whatever. So.
Yeah, this week's Dynamite, I felt like they pushed Rampage as much as they pushed it any other week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what Matt Hardy's going to be on. I can't remember what else. What else was there? Somebody set up a match.
I feel like they did like almost a full card preview of Rampage.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they absolutely did. Yes.
And I'm like, ooh, wow, they are really going for it this week.
Oh, it was Ethan Page and Danhausen. That was it.
Oh.
Which should be fine. I mean, Ethan Page, they have totally dropped the ball on him. Right now, he's got to be, I mean, at the time, no, he shouldn't have gone to WWE. Now, he's got to be like, God damn it. I'll do my penance in NXT, and I'll be on that main roster talking my ass off. But especially seeing how Josh Alexander, like, and I understand its impact, and AEW had a ridiculous number this week, by the way. They had a huge rating.
Oh, they did?
Yes. So MJF's back. Moxley Danielson, I'm sure, is probably a draw too. So I'm not saying, you know, it was a mistake going there. But if he wants exposure, yeah, it's been a mistake. And I know Josh Alexander is, and it's not an unfair comparison because they're not nearly the same person, but they were a team.
Oh, right.
He's the Impact champion. He's featured all the time. And I know he's on a show that only gets like 60,000 views or 600,000 something. I don't remember what it is. It's small. On a TV station, I don't even get anymore.
Yeah, that a lot of people don't get.
Yeah. But as far as creating like the old tape library, Josh Alexander's got a ton of stuff that he can show in some awesome matches where Ethan Page just, no.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly feel like that guy has done the take me seriously promo at least four times since he's been on AEW TV.
Yep.
It's like once every 6 months. He did it when he came in, and then he's done it like every 6 months since then. And it's just like, okay, dude, like, you told me to take you seriously 2 years ago, and I haven't been able to take you seriously. So, like, Why all of a sudden should I actually take you seriously?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Because I mean, he tried to get a reboot in with American Alpha. Is that what it was?
No, American Top Team.
Oh, American Top Team. And it's just like, oh, okay, this is the Scorpio Sky show. And Ethan
Yeah,
Page
he
just
played
got
second
to
fiddle there.
sit around with his thumb up his ass most of the time. Because,
Yeah.
and I mean, it's not even like they did that great of a job of featuring Scorpio Sky, honestly, within that whole situation, since he was another one who was on AEW plumbing plans all the time. So it's just like, okay, whatever, dude. Like, great, you had a 96 match winning streak on AEW Electrical Risers. Sure, okay, go for it.
And they
No
got
one's
hurt.
watching it.
Yeah, I don't know. Scorpio Sky could have been something, but that ship sailed.
Oh yeah,
So
and I mean, I
yeah,
guess
whatever.
at this point with Ethan Page, it's just like, when does that ship sail? Like, when you've been doing the same "I don't get the respect" gimmick for 2 years, like, sorry, like the ship sails at some point with that. You
Yep,
know?
and yeah, so it's just like he came over there. I was like, "Oh wow, Ethan Page, cool." Oh
Yeah,
yeah, by the way,
well,
who
and
are we
he'd
forgot to
kind of
mention?
been on a roll with Josh Alexander there coming
Oh yeah.
out of Impact. And it seemed like he was going to carry that momentum forward. And yeah, just Deadsville ever since. Secondary fiddle at best.
And then one name that I totally forgot about, where the hell is Brian Cage? They still pay him. I know Lance Archer's been overseas. He was in the G1. I'm guessing he's back. I don't know. Like, where are all these people?
I don't I have no idea, man.
Yeah. And then we have a weird tag team match where the champion gets pinned 2 weeks after she wins the title. Like that's like if that WWE did that, they would get blasted for that. I mean, look at the big deal they made out of Bianca Belair getting pinned.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then Toni Storm loses 2 weeks, like a week after, whatever it is, after winning the title. They're like, "Oh, they just pinned the champion. That's crazy. Let's go backstage to the guy spinning a fake pizza dough." No. I mean, and I know why everyone's complaining that guy was on there. I know why he was down there. It was to give Ethan Page a reason to complain. And
Oh.
cool, so gave that guy $5. But it could have been anybody back there.
It could have
So,
been another character.
but yeah, it's just, and I guess they're going to continue this Hobbs and Ricky Stark program, which didn't Hobbs correctly point out? He beat him in 4 minutes and 30 seconds. So I'd be done with you too.
Yeah, this is one where to draw a comparison with with WWE currently, I can understand Riddle wanting to go back in against Seth Rollins. Like,
Oh, that amount of shit. Yeah.
you know what? Hey, I made a mental mistake. I fucked up. I know I can beat you. Your mind games worked. Kudos to you. Let's play this back. Like, you can get that when you lose in 4.5 minutes. Just like, no, sorry, pal.
And I know they have an issue with him turning on him, but it's like, hey, I took care of the issue. Like, I just showed you why I do what I do.
Yeah.
But.
And it is one of those ones that's weird too. Like, I do think that the internet likes Powerhouse Hobbs. It's kind of strange though that Yeah, Ricky Starks keeps on. I would have expected a little more howling about his booking in general. Because he's another one where it just everyone seems to think that he's a star in the making. And then they don't really give him anything to work with. The only reason the FTR championship became important was to hand it over to Hook.
Yeah.
You know, that was because I feel like he had a title defense the week before he defended against Hook, or maybe a couple of weeks in a row. But it did seem like they built it up for that, and then Hook hasn't even really given a shit about it since then.
Yeah, now they're doing a tag match with Action Bronson.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay. I can't remember his name. Who I've heard of. I don't even know what he does.
Yep.
Is he a rapper?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I think he's a wrestler. Because I think he's supposed to be training with someone. Or
oh, all right, well, good.
Because that's what it seemed like. Who's he teaming with?
Hook.
Oh, Hook. Yeah, it seemed like he was supposed to be Hook's trainer or something like that.
Oh no, I thought Hook was training at the Nightmare Factory. That was like the whole deal back then. Eh, whatever. I
write anything for TV. Like it doesn't need that. True. That part doesn't need to be true.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just like okay, but. Did Justin Herbert get hurt?
Yes.
Oh. I just turned the game back on with all my internet problems this show. I didn't want to put it back on until now. Oh, boy. Well, that would explain why Kansas City's offense just died.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, San Diego's offense.
But I guess, is that a good jumping off point? Is there anything more to talk about, honestly, about AEW?
No, but I just want to get off before this damn thing crashes again. You have no idea how mad I was.
So, yeah, I have a pretty solid idea.
It's like the old days, like the old days, and it would crash in the middle of the show, and I was like, we're doing these a little bit later, so I can't even go like to the gym or do anything. So I've got to calm down now. Dude, this has been going on for 3 weeks. And they wanted to give me, like, well, we'll give you a credit if it lasts past 4 hours. No. It's done this every day for 2 weeks. Well, we'll give you $6. No. I just kept saying no. Actually, that old trick Jim Norton said on Opie and Anthony, just keep telling them unacceptable, that worked.
Oh.
And then finally, I got like half off the bill. I was like, okay. And I go, if it goes down again, I want it free for the month. And well, let's talk to my manager. I was like, that's unacceptable. You'll give it to me for free. Like, well, if it comes to that, I was like, okay. And of course, it took a week for it to go down again. Damn it. So,
yeah, that whole 1 week respite. Well, do you have a bell time beer that has helped soothe your internet problems?
Well, this thing's been gone for a while. The raspberry crumble from Red Clay, you can't get it anymore. Don't worry about it. But if you're in the Charlotte area, their peach crumble comes out Saturday. So I will grab some of those because those are probably my favorite ones. So.
Fair enough. One that I believe I got sometime late last year, so the new version might be coming out. Wolf's Ridge Office Party, Imperial Pastry Stout. Orange peel, vanilla, lactose, and two different versions of cacao in here. This is a pretty delicious beer that I would never have at an office party. Because it is 10.5% alcohol.
Oh, wow.
And I am not getting that drunk around my coworkers. So, yeah, funny name, enjoyable, definitely a beer taste of the season with the whole pastry stout leaning towards the end of the year. And good for Wolf's Ridge, 9th year anniversary. I think I'm going to go down there this weekend and try to grab myself a couple of bottled beverages.
Yeah, so, we got a lot of those. We got a lot of anniversaries this weekend. And I'm like, well, of course, I have to watch what I drink until next weekend. So, it's always something, man.
Oh, well, I am ready for some Stein holding for Oktoberfest this weekend.
Dude, okay, real quick. so they had this charity thing at the gym last week, blah, 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 and they were doing one of those Stein holding things. I just didn't want to do it. This guy comes up, hey, you're gonna do the Stein holding? I'm like, no, I'm good, thanks. Well, you'll probably win. No, I'm okay, thank you. Well, you're a big guy, man. Your arms are pretty big. I'm like, oh my fucking god. I was like, leave me alone. And you can see my friend Greg just lighten up, as happy as can be, at how annoyed I get. And I was like, no, I'm good. Okay, like, motherfucker. I don't understand why people do that. Leave me alone. You don't know me. Like, hey, do you want to do this? No, I'm okay, thank you. All right, cool, just wanted to ask. There was no shortage of people wanting to do it. And the big guys don't win that because we get fatigued easier. It's the little guys. That's just how it works.
Yeah, you've got to have a good... Because I did it a couple of years ago. I want to say I came in third place.
Yeah, I remember those pictures, yeah.
Something like that. Like, I did okay. I don't think I'm going to do well this year. I will try again, but...
that's the go get 'em attitude.
Yeah. It's just like... What, I think I get a free Stein out of it or something like that? I'm like, that okay, I can afford the $6 for a Stein if I really want it.
No, that's true.
I don't, you know, whatever.
I don't understand. That does. I don't see that happen to anybody else. And
yeah.
I don't have a face that comes up and says, hey, I'd like to talk to you. I don't know if I ever did, actually. Maybe when I had hair. They could hide the scowl, I guess. I don't know, but I'm not inviting. I don't think I am. I don't know. Whatever.
That is at Granny Mays, at DeFrango 11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, though. Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and Google are on that list, among others. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.